Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C, James.
Live from Tampa, Florida, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Mark James.
Joining us right now, live from Utah, is the reigning MVP from the defending NBA World Champion Golden State Warriors, who are Steph Curry here in the jungle. What's up, Steph?
What's up, Mark? How you doing?
Thanks to Mark James, who came in here the last couple of days, did a bang-up job.
There's a lot of great sports talk hosts out there. Who's your favorite, though?
Mark with a C, James, baby.
Thanks, Steph. Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors.
Phony machine. Shell, Chris Frail,
Jarrett Studdum,
Tuca or Puka,
Garbage Hayward,
Byrie Irving,
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, 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 happy Saturday to you, May 18th, 2019. I am Mark with AC James, flying solo after Evan Drellick is taking his talents somewhere else, and I don't think he's made it official yet, but he's leaving WEEI. That's my second co-host. I'm hoping the first one, who is sort of my, I feel as though my sports talk soulmate, Greg Dickerson, will eventually come back and we can bring back the Pony Express. Until then, you have yours truly, me, Mark with a C, the pride of Western Mass, the best thing to come out of there since Uma Thurman and Travis Best. And a lot of things to get to on today's show. And congratulations to Jeremy Jacobs, Charlie Jacobs, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, Bruce Cassidy, and the Boston Bruins on heading to their third Stanley Cup over the course of the last 9 years for the Bees. And what a way to do it in just dominating fashion. Thursday night, 4-0 shutout, led by the guy who's probably at this juncture, you know, at least through the first three rounds. Obviously, there's four more games to go, potentially seven, 4 out of 7 in the Stanley Cup. But Tuukka Rask, and I have been a adamant critic of Tuukka on these airwaves for quite some time, but he has done something which not many people have done in my career. He's been able to shut me up, and he's done it with just stellar play. How stellar has he been? Well, let's just look at this. The guy in the series against Carolina gave up 5 goals in 4 games with a .956 save percentage. Now, you look at him now and juxtapose him in the series against Pittsburgh back in 2013 when he was just ice in that series. Absolutely nails. And he's doing it again. And even better, statistically, that he's been in these playoffs than he was prior to anything in his career. And if you go ahead and compare and contrast him to Tim Thomas back in 2011, he's even had better numbers than Tim Thomas. Now, yes, I will admit, the Carolina, and don't even call them the Hurricanes, I call them the fake Whalers. There's only one Hurricanes in sports, and they reside down in Coral Gables, Florida.
The Bruins' plan of attack tonight, be the bigger storm than the Hurricanes.
Oh, John, couldn't you let me get through a segment without bad puns?
Just take you by surprise.
Yes, 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 I didn't hear that one before, but oh man, you broke me up there, dude. But you look at Tuukka Rask, what he did in 2013, 1.75 goals against average in these playoffs in the first three series against Toronto, Columbus, and Carolina, 1.84. So not as good there, but I mean, we're talking save percentage 9.43, 9.42, 2 shutouts. Back in 2013, and 2 shutouts so far in these playoffs. It's been Tuukka. He has stolen games. He has stood on his head a la John Sebastian Jaguar in 2003 with the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. I'll go back to Patrick Waugh with Colorado in the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup with Ray Bourque back in the day in 2001 or in 86 against the Flyers and Ron Hextall. He has had that. Now, there's still four wins that must be left, but the good news is that the Bruins, they are like, and here's the thing, as happy, because I'm a diehard Bees fan, my dad would take me to games at the Old Garden back in the day when I watched Ray Bourque and Barry Peterson and Pete Peters and Andy Moog and Gord Kluzak play. And then we went to the Hartford Civic Center when the real Whalers were playing there in the mall there in the insurance capital of the world. And like, I'm so happy for the Bruins. And then you look at what would have been, could have been, should have been the Boston Slam, the Red Sox winning 119 games. Or whatever it was, 119 games last year combined, regular season and playoffs, winning the World Series for the fourth time in 15 years, the Patriots winning their sixth Super Bowl back in February, the Bruins looking like they're going to take home, knock on wood, the second Stanley Cup since in the last decade in the Cam Neely era. And then you look at the Fredo Corleone of Boston sports teams, the Celtics. And don't they just piss you off? It's like you could have had the Boston Slam, and you have a team who a year ago in the first round knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks, seven-game series, without their two highest-paid players, Kyrie Irving and Gordon-Ari Hayward. This year, they have them. They're both healthy. I don't care. If you're in the lineup, you're healthy. I don't want to hear any injuries you had all year. And granted, it takes a long time to get through the injury that Gordon Hayward's trying to get through, just the way it took Paul George 2 years to fully get back. And you get swept.
You broke my heart.
Gentlemen's sweep to the Milwaukee Bucks in five games. And the Celtics and Wick Rosbeck, who's making the media rounds now, went on another show this week on another station, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said they were a hard team to love, and he was being as politically correct as he could be. And he said, number one, he's a fan, he's disappointed, the fans should be disappointed. So Wick feels your pain. He does feel your pain.
What a poop storm.
He does feel your pain, Maz. But at the same time, it's like you bunch of overpaid, overrated, underachieving losers. The Celtics, that's all you all are. All of you. And listen, I thought Jaylen Brown, after he got over his ego, probably sometime after the All-Star break, decided I'm going to do what's best for business. If I've got to come off the bench and earn my way back in the rotation, I thought Jaylen Brown ended the year on a high note. Marcus Smart was obviously hurt, probably shouldn't have been on the court. But you look at the Bruins, they're the epitome of a team of destiny. And then you juxtapose that and you look at the Celtics and they're the epitome of a team of disarray. You have Tuca and the one line with Pasta, Bergeron, and Marchand versus Scary Terry. Oh, and I'll get to him in a second. And the sound that he came out with last week on ESPN. We'll get to that, John. I know I didn't call for it, but try to cue that one up. And him starting to be the Celtics spokesperson as he looks for a place to play as he's a free agent now. Scary Terry, a guy who thinks he's the reincarnation of Kobe Bryant 2.0, Jason Tatum. Garbage Hayward. And me, myself, and Irie Irving. And it's like, the Bruins, you want to wrap your arms around. You want to exult and rejoice and celebrate. And like, you know what? We've had 12 freaking duck boat parades here since 2001. And I kind of think by the end of the Stanley Cup final, it's going to be 13. And then you look at the Celtics. It's like, you guys, you're the Fredo Corleone now of Boston sports teams. You really are. Now, do I think the Celtics would have beaten the Golden State Warriors if they had gotten to the NBA Finals? No. No, I don't. I don't. But it would have been nice to get there. Hell, it would have been nice to get out of the second round. And instead, after winning game one on the road in convincing fashion, they got swept. So the Bruins team, Celtics, there's no I in team, but there is an I in Kyrie and Celtics. And there were a lot of I's on that team this year. And they are the reason why we are not going to get the Boston Slam here.
Now there are no I's on that team.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because no one's watching them.
Yes. 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 Do we have the Scary Terry sound by any chance from Mike Greenberg as he's going around and he's starting to be the unofficial spokesperson for the Celtics? Let's hear that.
What were your expectations as this season began?
I think we all had that ultimate goal. Guys, you know, me, Jason, Jalen, you know, we had a terrific postseason last year, and I think we was trying to come and do the same thing this year.
Hmm. What about the Kyrie part?
How do you think your team did in trying to adjust to his style?
I think guys was getting it, you know, especially towards the end of the season. But like I said, we had come in the game, and it'd be a different game plan than what we kind of expected. We went through in practice, so it was like
it's the second time you said that. I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're saying. How was it different on the floor from what it was in practice?
You know, we have five, the first five, and then we had a second five, and then you know when we go out there, I feel like a lot of guys would be mixed up. It wouldn't be the first five and second five. So what we talked about in practice is not what we went through in the game. It was like, all right, we're going to keep Kyrie out there, and we're going to put the other guys out there with him, and we're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I give him some credit for his truth serum there about literally what we saw. But and let me just say this, and the cesspool text line is already misconstrued. John, when I say something's a gentleman sweep, when I say the Celtics, it was a five-game sweep, you do know what I mean. It means a sweep is losing four games in a row. I get some idiot from the 860, like, the Celtics did not get swept. They lost four in a row.
That's common nomenclature in sports right now.
Right.
They gentlemen sweep. Swept. Everyone knows what it means.
Right. Okay. I just want to make sure everybody besides the idiot from the 860 understands me. Okay, good. They got swept. When you lose four in a row, you get swept. And I look at Bruce Cassidy, and I compare and contrast him to Brad Stevens, Brad Farrell, who doesn't have a ring. John Farrell actually won a ring his first year as manager with the Red Sox in 2013. So Brad Farrell's been here now for not one, not two, not three, but 6 years. 6 seasons. And what do the Celtics have to show for it now? Really? What a division title? But you got swept in the Eastern Conference Finals 1 year. 1 year you made it to Game 7. You lost at home. What do you have to show for it? Do they hang division banners at the top of the Garden? Because I don't remember them doing that. I don't know. Maybe the standards have changed now because everything in the world that we live in, everybody gets a participant trophy now. Yay! No. It's just like the Celtics. I want you all. And Kyrie, I'll tell you something. He's done something too because, man, I was a charter member of the Kyrie Irving fan club when the Celtics acquired him, and I thought, like, wow, man, Danny really changed this team on the fly. He really did, and he reinvented them by acquiring Kyrie, which nobody saw coming. It's like you were happy the summer before by getting Al Horford. You were happy the summer after by signing Gordon Hayward. And then they get Kyrie, and you're like, holy crap. This is amazing. And you saw the year they had this year. And you saw what it was like that this team who went all the way to face a guy who had gone to seven straight NBA finals in LeBron James. And then you had him in game seven at home with a chance to win. And you couldn't get it done. And here's another thing too. While I'm bagging on the Celtics and Kyrie and Brad Farrell, let me say this too. You go back to that Game 7 last year in the Eastern Conference Finals at home. How about Kyrie Irving, who had elective deviated septum surgery? Elective. He could have got it done anytime he wanted. And he did not show up to that game. And I got to tell you, I was one of the people who got his back on that. And I said, I don't know, let it go. It's fine. Dude, this guy is so egotistical. It is ridiculous. So if the Celtics had won that game seven, Kyrie Irving would not have been there to celebrate with his teammates that were going to the NBA Finals because he was going to have deviated septum surgery the next day, which he could have easily postponed. Meanwhile, you look at Thursday night, Zdeno Chara, the captain, 43, 44 years old, whatever he is, been in the league now over two decades, couldn't play on Thursday night, or they wanted to give him a rest, whatever.
See, they don't need Zdeno Chara.
And as soon as in full uniform, Zdeno Chara celebrating with his teammates, winning the Eastern Conference, going back to the Stanley Cup for the third time in his illustrious Hall of Fame career.
And Zdeno Chara, though injured, is in uniform and comes out for the celebration.
I love that moment. Oh, I love that moment. So, folks, what I'm telling you today is rejoice, celebrate the Bruins. And as you do that, the other side, the double-edged sword, just look down and be disgusted, be embarrassed, be ashamed and disgraced by the Celtics because they could not represent this city in the right way because they didn't have any leaders and they had too many egos, too many I's, too many me's, and not enough we's. That's it. Too many guys with their own agendas, whether it was scary Terry. Yeah, you know what was scary about Terry? The fact that the dude shot 23%, 23.5%, let me get it right, from three-point range in the postseason this year. That's what was scary about Terry, okay? It's like Terry Rozier. And you know who created this monster? The Green Teamers, all of you. You all created this thing last year. Scary Terry. The dude rips off the whole thing from the movie Scream with the masks and starts peddling t-shirts. And then he got a cease and desist order on that one. Yeah. Scary Terry, get out of town. Byrie Irving, get the F out of town. And if I'm Danny, I'm looking for someone to take Gordon Hayward off the Celtics' hands.
All right, wheels up, ding-a-lings.
Yes, Jerry, wheels definitely up. As much as I love what the Bruins are doing and what they're about to do, which is win the Stanley Cup, knock on wood, I'm equally as disgusted by the Celtics, and so should you be. 617-779-7937. Barry Melrose will join us coming up later on in the show. We will talk to the Mullet and the former head coach of the Los Angeles Kings and Wayne Gretzky and the former coach of Steve Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Barry Melrose will join us coming up later on in the program. In the meantime, it's just you and me. Nothing but your phone call. 617-779-7937. Now, it's time for trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
If the Boston Celtics came to you right now and they said to you, we're bringing everybody back, same team, it's going to be exactly the way it was this past year, do you want to stay in Boston?
No, I might have to go. I might have to go. You know, I put up with a lot this year, so I said what I said after the season. I think we all know that. I'm not trying to step into that again.
What exactly is it that you did sacrifice in your work?
I sacrificed, you know, obviously my talent, I think, the most.
That was Terry Rozier on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. Are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about delusions of grandeur. Are you kidding me? This guy, I sacrificed my talent? You shot 23.5% from three-point range, you loser. Who do you think you are? I mean, this guy, like, are you kidding me? This is what you created last year, Boston. You created this guy who believes his own gimmick. He really, truly, like, I always say, one of the things I admire when I was down in Charlotte, I got a chance to really know the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who thankfully it was erroneously reported that he had a health scare this week, that he was in serious jeopardy. But Ric Flair always lived the gimmick. He was the Nature Boy, 24/7, 365. And I actually got a chance, John Anderson, to ride in a limo with the 16-time world champion Nature Boy Ric Flair in Charlotte back in the day, 2011. And he lived the gimmick. But Terry Rozier, you're a backup scrub point guard who shot 23% from three-point range. And you think that you sacrificed your talent for the betterment of the team? What do you think you are, Steve Nash 2.0? And this is the problem with the Celtics. And and this is why this team sucked this year. They sucked. Let's just say it. You got a guy out there who is the NFL equivalent of Case Keenum. And the dude thinks he's Aaron Rodgers. It's unreal. It's unreal. Get out of town. Get out of here. And Puma, I have no idea why you endorse this loser. I just don't know why. If I were you, I'd probably look for some better athletes coming. Maybe Ja Morant. Maybe some real point guards coming up in the draft. What a loser. I sacrificed my talent. Now, John Anderson, I got to give you credit on this. I never heard that sound till just now. And I am livid. And when you want to see why the Celtics got swept in five games and why the Bruins are going to the Stanley Cup, listen to that soundbite. That's all you need to hear. I sacrificed my talent. What a loser. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike in North Providence, who's up first. What's up, Mike?
How you doing there, Mark? Yeah, with regards to the Celtics, one of the things I felt is that Kyrie was just kind of, his importance to the offense, particularly as it was shown in the postseason, was massively overstated. And Brown and Tatum's was massively understated. And one of the key things here is this guy shot a ton, and he shot very inefficiently. I don't know if people know this, but in the road games, Brown actually scored as many points per game as Kyrie did, despite the fact that Kyrie took 39 more shots than him. And it's not like last postseason, Brown and Tatum didn't shoot well. I mean, in fact, Jaylen was probably scored almost as many points per game as Kyrie did in this postseason, as in his healthy starts. You know, remember, he got hurt at the beginning of a game and he had to come off the bench. So in his 14 healthy starts, he was scoring 20.4 points a game and he was doing it really efficiently. And remember, Tatum himself was very efficient, scoring 18.5. People act as if they need this guy to be shooting and shooting and shooting, and nobody else could do it. You know, it's almost kind of like, and he's a superstar, and the younger guys on the team aren't that good. But, you know, in defense of Rozier, he's a much better player when he starts. He really is. It's been that way the last couple of years. It was that way during this season. He if you look at his starting numbers, they're really good. And, you know, he plays better with the other guys. And it, you know what? He's a person who I think and rightly felt that he was being cost millions of dollars by being put on the bench. And if Danny had just traded this guy away and gotten the pick that he could have gotten for him, we wouldn't have been hearing about this.
For Terry Rozier?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he had to realize that this, listen, don't tell guys to be humble and to sacrifice when there are people that are making max contracts on the team that didn't do any of that. They're getting paid. Marcus Smart got his money already in the offseason, and then Terry's saying to himself, you know what, you're costing me a ton of money by doing this because I'm going into restricted free agency now.
It is what it is. Mike, though, when you compare and contrast the Bruins to the Celtics, it really is 180 degrees. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, but these are two different sports.
I know they're two different sports, but I'm like, you see the epitome of a team versus the epitome of a bunch of me-first individuals.
Yeah, but when you're dealing with what the Bruins have been doing, and they've done this for years, they like to run out four lines. They like to wear the other team down. The more the merrier when it comes to talent, and it works for them. In basketball, there's only one ball. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. You can't. You're right. You can't just. You got to call time. I get that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, thanks for the phone call, Mike. It's refreshing to look at the Celtics. It really is. By the way, there's another person on the text line today who misunderstood me. He's like, Terry Rozier shot 35% this year, you moron. I'm talking about in the playoffs. Listen, don't hear what you want to hear. Listen. He shot 23.5% from three-point range against Milwaukee. Okay, that's. I'm just letting you know. And against Indiana and Milwaukee in this postseason, that's what I'm going. I'm only going by on your last what you've done in the playoffs. That's how you are measured this time of the year. And by the way, 35% is nothing to write home about either. 617-779-7937. Steven Portsmouth, what's up, Steve?
Not too much, brother. What's going on with you?
Hi
there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Awesome. No. So first off, I want to preface what I'm going to say with, you know, Brad Stevens has plenty of responsibility and, you know, and what has happened with this year. He had a very talented team and he didn't even make the conference finals. You know, he did a lot worse than he did with less talent. So, but with that being said, man, calling him, you know, Brad Farrell, I think is way off base. I think
right, that, you know, because John Farrell actually won a ring. You're right. It is way off. It's certainly disrespectful to John Farrell. You're right. It is.
It's disrespectful to John Farrell. So John Farrell was given a different team that was led by a bunch of veterans that did something that was pretty incredible. You know, so I don't think David Ortiz is walking into the Celtics locker room. Or Paul Pierce, for that matter.
What was the Red Sox record in 2012 with under Bobby Valentine?
Oh, that was under Bobby Valentine.
No, I know. Okay,
they still had the talent, buddy.
69-93, and he took that 69 team.
69-93. Oh, I remember. But they had the talent.
And you know why? Because Farrell came in and did the right things. Brad Stevens hasn't done that yet.
Right, he knew how to deal with veterans. Right, he knew how to deal with veterans. So, that Brad Stevens has never done that before in his career. He was a college coach from not a big program that knew how to take less talent, put it together, and be a good a brilliant basketball coach.
And by the way, Steve, there's nothing. There's nothing. And there's nothing there that I don't. That's the problem. He's coaching the Celtics like Butler. This isn't the Horizon League. This is the NBA. All right, you're not playing, Southwest Missouri State. You're playing the Sixers. You're playing the Bucks, the Raptors, with Giannis and Kawhi Leonard. He coaches it like a college team. It's like sort of socialist. Like everybody's going to get equal minutes. No, and the NBA is a star-driven league. The superstars get more minutes. Okay, Steve Kerr, who's going to get more minutes? Is it going to be Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant? Or is it going to be McKinney, Sean Livingston, Andrew Bogut? You got it. When you get to the playoffs, you have to go with your top players. You can't try to spread it around. And I told you, I told each and every one of you, Brad Stevens would get out-coached against Milwaukee. And he did. He completely did. And what happened? And now Milwaukee is two wins away from going to the NBA Finals for the first time since Kareem and Oscar Robertson back in the 70s. I mean, it's been that long. They got the coach. He completely outcoached Brad Stevens. So, again, as we're celebrating the Bruins, as you all should, because Tuca's been spectacular, the one line really showed up the other night. They didn't show up in the first three games, but they showed up the other night. They had 8 points, 4 goals, 4 assists. They were unreal. Bruce Cassidy, he gets it. And then you look at the Celtics, not so much. 617-779-7937. Let's get to some Craftgate stuff as well. And the NBA draft lottery coming up. Is it fixed? Are you kidding me? I'll get to that as well. Mark James here on WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
We know differently. Here's David Stern with the announcement.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James. The Cleveland Cavaliers select Kyrie Irving from Duke University. The New Orleans Hornets select Anthony Davis.
Ah, unbelievable. Wow. Man, I have done a deep dive on whether or not the NBA draft lottery is fixed, and I can tell you for... I would literally bet my life on it. That is absolutely fixed. And I'll give you reasons why. We can go way back to 1991, 92. And I mean, well, you heard Patrick Ewing there. We all know about the frozen envelope.
It's rigged.
It's absolutely rigged. And I can even give you even more examples of when teams are starting a franchise, like the Charlotte Hornets, who came out of the gate in like 1988-89 season was their first year, along with the Orlando Magic as well. And then they both obviously got out to tough starts. So in 1991, the Charlotte Hornets were given the number one pick, and they took Larry Johnson out of UNLV. It was an amazing pick. The following year, they got the number two pick behind Orlando.
Why do the Penguins fire Demps?
Penguins?
Yeah.
What are you talking?
New Orleans Penguins.
The New Orleans Penguins.
Yeah.
They're the Pelicans?
I could never get enough of that. And then, so like I mentioned, Charlotte in 92 gets the number two pick. So they got a Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning. In 92, the other expansion team, Orlando, they get Shaquille O'Neal. In 93, they get the number one pick, who they selected Chris Webber, trade him to Golden State, and get Anthony Penny Hardaway. I can keep going, and I've come up with a reason on why it's completely fixed. If a team loses, and they lose a big-time star player, it's amazing how they strike gold in the lottery. In 2003, going after the 2004 season, Tracy McGrady wanted out of Orlando. So Orlando was about to be completely decimated. I think Doc Rivers was their coach at the time. So they lost Tracy McGrady. They hadn't been relevant at all since the Shaq Penny era. They get the number one pick, who was Dwight Howard. After LeBron James took his talents to South Beach in July 2010, the Cleveland Cavaliers were the worst team in the NBA that season. And to ensure that, they got the number one pick, who was Kyrie Irving. The following year, and I can give a little personal anecdote on this, I was in Charlotte doing afternoon drive on WFNZ, and the Bobcats, before they became the Hornets again, they had the worst winning percentage in NBA history. It was a strike-shortened season. They were 7-59. They were awful. And everyone there thought, Anthony Davis is coming to Charlotte. Got to cover the Final Four down in New Orleans. I asked Anthony Davis, after he won the national title with John Calipari in Kentucky, have you looked for homes in Charlotte? And he started laughing. He said, not yet. So everybody in Charlotte, including me, thought the Bobcats are getting Anthony Davis. But instead, I believe that David Stern and the NBA, who were in charge of the New Orleans basketball team at the time, who were called the Hornets, they had just lost a guy by the name of Chris Paul, who got traded to the Clippers. And the NBA had taken ownership of the New Orleans franchise because no one wanted to buy them. So the Saints owner, Tom Benson, comes in and says, I'll take the NBA franchise off your hands. The NBA says, we'll give you the All-Star game next year. And lo and behold, who got the number one pick that year in the draft? The New Orleans Pelicans, who took Anthony Davis. In 2013, the Cleveland Cavaliers, still reeling from losing LeBron, get the number one pick, which was unfortunately Anthony Bennett. He sucked. So the following year, Dan Gilbert's kid shows up. They get the number one pick again. And they used it on Andrew Wiggins, who then LeBron comes back and LeBron says, I don't want Andrew Wiggins. I want Kevin Love. They trade Andrew Wiggins to Minnesota to get Kevin Love. In 2015, Minnesota, who now has Andrew Wiggins, gets the number one pick and Karl Anthony Towns. Oh, and I'm not done yet either. You want to talk about conspiracy theory? The Philadelphia 76ers in 2014 get the number three pick, which they use on the process, Joel Embiid. That was actually 2014. In 2015, they got the third pick again, which they use on Jahlil Okafor out of Duke, who ended up being a bust. In 2016, they get the number one pick, which was Ben Simmons. And then in 2017, they got a top three pick for the fourth straight year, which, of course, they traded here to Boston to draft Markel Fultz, and Danny Ainge astutely took Jason Tatum. 2018, Phoenix got the number one pick with DeAndre Ayton. Sacramento, which has been desolate for so long, got the number two pick for Marvin Bagley. And then this year, the two lowest markets in the NBA, New Orleans with Anthony Davis and Memphis with Mike Conley, get the top two picks in the draft.
How about the way the league set up the New York Knicks and the New York Knicks fans?
It is, if you don't think that this lottery is fixed because they run some suit out there from Ernst & Young, then listen, I've got Swampland in Nebraska to sell you. DM me on Twitter. My handle's Mark James. That's M-A-R-C James. Of course it's fixed. It's all fixed. It's been fixed forever. Ever since they started it way back in 1985. And there are probably more examples, but the thing is completely fixed. And they, unfortunately, this year, the NBA, they didn't get it right. They should have fixed it for the Knicks because basketball in the number one media market in the world has been down for two decades, and instead they get the third pick, which might, who knows? You never know how these things go. In 2007, nobody, including me, thought that Kevin Durant would be anywhere near Greg Oden, and instead it was the opposite. You just don't know. You never know. So when it's all said and done, R.J. Barrett could end up being a better player than Zion Williamson, but the thing is completely fraudulent. It's completely fixed. And if you don't think it is, you are naive. You are absolutely naive because it is a very sketchy, shady process. And I don't believe in the authenticity of any of it. 617-779-7937. Let's get to this next hour, too. How do you fix the Celtics? And why the Celtics, after the draft lottery, might be in the best position to still land Anthony Davis. I'll get to that and your phone calls coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.